Hello, everyone, and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 22. Today is November 29th, the 28th day of Cheshvan, and it is Tuesday. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Toldos. And in Parsha's Toldos, of course, we have the birth of Yaakov and Esav, and as the Parsha goes along, things don't go so well, and eventually Yaakov steals, so to speak, the brachos away from Esav, and at the end of the parasha, he's forced to run away. And there, we have a very interesting pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayishlach Yitzchak es Yaakov." Yitzchak sends Yaakov away. Vayilech Padan Aram el Lavan ben Bisuel, and he's told to go towards Padan Aram, towards Lavan. Lavan, of course, as we know, is, the pasuk tells us, Achi Rivka, the brother of Rivka, Aim Yaakov the Esav. And so the pasuk says that Yitzchak sends Yaakov away, probably for his safety against the threat of Esav, and sends him to Lavan, the son of Bisuel, the brother of Rivka. Who's Rivka? The mother of Yaakov and Esav. Now, it seems pretty obvious that Rivka was the mother of Yaakov and Esav, and the fact that the pasuk writes it here is very odd, very strange. Rashi, who you would expect to climb in and say, hey, I'm going to help out here, Rashi says, Aim Yaakov ve'esav, eini yodea ma melamdenu. I do not know what this teaches us. And so that's a fascinating Rashi. Rashi does not, as we know, comment on every single word in the Torah. Rashi comments on the words that you would think are difficult, things that need explanation, things that don't make so much sense. So that's when he usually has what to say to explain whatever obstacle we're encountering. Here, you know, in regard to words that he thinks are obvious, he doesn't say a word. Here we have something that really doesn't make sense. Why in the world does the pasuk describe Rivka in the obvious explanation of she's the mom of Yaakov and Esav when everybody knows that already? And Rashi jumps in and says, I have no idea. I really just don't know. I have no idea what this is about. This is not the only time Rashi does this. Rabbi Kiva Eger brings a very long list of times that he does this. There's an article in Hadarom in Tishrei 5730 that discusses many times. There are 77 times in Rashi's commentaries to Chumash. There's another list of 69 times that he does so in the Gemara where something is said and he says, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. So what does this I don't know mean? Some understand that it's an incredible act of humility. He's acknowledging the fact that, hey, this is a difficult passage and I can't tell you precisely what it means. I'm not sure what it's teaching us. Others do offer suggestions. The Sifsei Chachamim actually suggests that what Rashi means when he says, I don't know, he says, Yesh Makshim, Ma Bala Hodienu. What is it that he's coming, that Rashi's coming to inform us? She'eni Yodea, Imlo Yodea, Yishtok. If you don't know, don't tell us. So, I mean, others say that, what do you mean? If you don't know and it's troubling, let everybody know that it troubles you as well. Usually when Rashi is quiet, it's because things are simple or things are clear. Here he's acknowledging the struggle. And that's really a point that Nechama Leibowitz makes. She says that this is exactly the act of modesty that you would expect from, you know, a person like Rashi. Because where it is complicated is when he's sort of hesitant to get involved when he doesn't know the answer. The Sifsei Chachamim understands differently. He understands V'yeshlomer d'Rashi yada sheyesh liyashiv v'kanra anfei kipirushim mefarshim. There are a lot of ways to explain. You know, other mefarshim came up with ways to explain why it says aim Yaakov ve'esav, and so he was just troubled by which one is pshat. Right, Rashi has a goal when he tries to explain Chumash. There are a lot of different layers that you can explain Chumash with. And so Rashi's goal is to explain using Pshat. He can't figure out which one points towards Pshat. And so the Sifsei Chachamim says, that's why he says, I don't know. But of course, he had many different interpretations. Like when you open up the commentaries on Chumash, you'll find many interpretations to this line. But this really leads to another idea, which is found in Maseches Ketanos, in Maseches Kalal Rabasi, it's found in the Gemara in Brachos, and the idea, I'll read it from Maseches Ketanos, it says as follows, Im chafetz ata lomod, if a person wants to learn, al tomar al shalosh shamata shamati, don't say that in regard to something that you did not hear, you did hear. Ve'im shalucha davar ve'in ata bakibo. And if you're asked in regard to something that you're not expert in, al tevo shlomar eni yodea. Don't be embarrassed to say, I don't know. Ve'im shanu lecha davar ve'lo shamata. And if you did learn something but you didn't hear it, al tevo shlomar lo shamati. And don't be embarrassed to say, like, I wasn't listening, I didn't hear it, I missed it. How do we know? Midavid. How do we know this notion of humility when it comes to scholarship? So this source says, we learn it from David. David says, Va'adabra ve'edvosecha negen malachim v'lo evosh. I was able to speak about God's laws and God's rules opposite kings, and I wasn't embarrassed. What does that mean? V'lo evosh milishal mipiboshes echiasa. I would take people who were under me and I would ask them questions, and I was not embarrassed to ask people who were beneath me in dignity questions because I don't know all of the answers and I can't do it myself. So the Gemara over here in Brachos talks about how Moshe refers to Chatzos as the time of Makas Bechoros and refers to it as Kachatzos. About Chatzos, there will be Makas Bechoros, the final plague. Why does he say Kachatzos? So the reason he says Kachatzos is not because God is, I don't know, maybe his time is not synchronized. You know, they haven't synchronized with the atomic clock and they might get it wrong. But rather, Shema Yitu Itztagnine Paro. Maybe those who are reading the skies and trying to figure out exactly what time is Chatzos, maybe they'll make a mistake. Vayomer Moshe Badoyhu, and they're going to say, Moshe's he's lying, he's a scam artist, he's not really telling the truth. You see, he says it's going to happen at midnight. But instead, it happened at 12:01. Ha ha, he doesn't know what he's talking about. De Amar Mar, Lamed Lashon Chalomar Eni Yodea. A person should teach themselves to say Eni Yodea. Shemet Tispade V'Seyachez. Maybe they'll be caught in a lie. Now, what does this mean? Moshe uses the expression Kachatzos to indicate that we should always be a little bit unsure of ourselves. We should always be a little bit unsure of the things that we say, the things that we hear, even though other people might make the mistakes and interpret what we're saying incorrectly or differently or inappropriately. We should always hedge a little bit and not say things so absolutely so as not to come across as uncorrectable. We're always correctable. There's always another way to understand and other input that could be offered. In the parasha as well, the Bar Tanura points out that when Yaakov comes to the well to meet Rachel the very first time, he says, Hashalom lo. And they respond, Amru lo shalom. V'hine Rachel bito ba'a im hatzon, after he asks about Lavan. So the Rachel, his daughter, comes with the tzon. I'm sorry, this is next week's parasha. And the Bar Tanura says, this is what those shepherds were saying. They were actually doing the same thing. They said, ze anu yodim. You want to know who Lavan is? You know, that we know. We know that this is the daughter. You want to know anything more than that? We have no idea. V'im tishal yoser, hine Rachel bito ba'a im hatzon, v'hi tagid lach. She'll tell you whatever you need to know in regard to all of the details that you might be curious about. This idea that, like, we just don't know. You know, we defer to others. We are not necessarily so confident of all the details. And we can be expected to ask questions and to be humble enough to understand that we don't always have all of the information. That's a critical and very important piece. There's a story that goes that, you know, the classic model where a Jew is forced to debate against the non-Jew and they're going to ask Bible questions. And whoever says, I don't know first, is going to be thrown off the bridge. That's the story. And so the first question, the non-Jew who's an expert in Bible study is asked by the Jew who happens to just be some tailor, the first guy they found. The tailor asks the expert, he says, what is the word eni yodea? Eni yodea, I mean, what does that mean? And the person says, I don't know. And they throw the guy off the bridge. Okay, so obviously that's, you know, that what kind of story it is. And they asked this guy, the tailor, they said, ooh, good one. How did you know? How did you know? How were you so smart to ask this person what Eini Yodea means and to get him sort of caught up in his own words? To which the Jew responds, I didn't really think about it. All I knew is I read a Rashi, and Rashi says, Eini Yodea, I don't know. Eini Yodea Mamalam Deinu, I don't know what it teaches us. And then I looked in the translation, and I didn't know what it meant, and guess what I saw in the translation? The translation said, I don't know. So if the translation didn't know, then how's this guy gonna know? And so that's the question he asked, and that's how he found success in his debate against this Gentile, and that's how he succeeded. So altogether, We learn from Rashi, we learn from many sources. We shouldn't be afraid to say we don't know. We don't know everything. And sometimes we can learn a lot by keeping our ears open in that we don't know. And so when somebody asks you, what did you learn in today's 10, you know what you can say? I don't know. Have a great day.